Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today on this terrific Tuesday. At least I'm going to call it that. No matter what you're going through, I believe that things can always get better. I'm going to call this Traffic Tuesday today because I have someone on that I've been trying to get on. I've been wanting to talk about what's going on the roads these days, especially in the wake of COVID. And so if you've been in Central Florida with any length of time, you've seen her on the news talking about what's going on, and we're happy to have back Lieutenant Kim Montez of the Florida Highway Patrol. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I like that. Traffic Tuesday. That sounds like a good topic.
How's it going? And I busy would probably be an understatement for you.
It has been a busy February, and so I'm glad you're having us on to talk about traffic safety so we can make March much safer.
Amen to that. Okay, so is it my imagination, or even though people were supposed to be quarantined and off the roads and stuff during some part of this pandemic, have the roads gotten crazier? I mean, I tell my husband, I point out to him the bumpers that are left on the corners, and I call it curb art because I see so much of it now. It's just like it's inspiration or something, but it's unfortunately a bad sign to me in terms of what's been going on the road. So can you talk a little bit about that?
So, you know, you're right. When we shut down almost a year ago, March 17th, and the governor put in a executive order for quarantining at home, we had a good majority of the public do what he requested, stay home unless you had to be out for doctor's appointments, getting food, you know, appointments. That lasted till about June. Now, in that time period, when there was less traffic, less congestion on the roadway, we saw our speeders go up, and we call them super speeders. You know, before people tended to do 5 to 10 miles over the speed limit. But during those first 4 months of COVID in 2020, we were catching people doing 100 miles an hour, you know, 95 and a 55 on the 408. And so we really, you know, put our enforcement hats on and basically try to get people to slow down. But our fatalities dropped, our crashes dropped, so there were less people on the roadway. And then come about June, the end of June, I think people were a little bit, you know, they were home all the time. They wanted to get out. So we started seeing our crashes pick up, but still less than 2019. Because we know that a lot of parents were home staying with their kids. As school started, a lot of kids were homeschooled and virtual schooled, and a lot of people were working from home. So we still saw a reduction. But as we move further into this year, the first year of the pandemic, we have seen a significant increase in not only in crashes, but fatals. For the month of February, in the Central Florida area, the Florida Highway Patrol investigated 47 fatal crashes in 28 days. And we have never seen that number that high ever. And I've been on 26 years. And it was kind of all over the place. 9 of them involved motorcycles, 13 of them involved pedestrians, you know, a lot of single vehicle crashes. So what do we want to look at? We want to look at people kind of going back to the basics. everybody's stressed. Some people are having to worry about jobs or worry about food or worry about, you know, their home situation. And sometimes when they're in their car, they're just not paying attention.
So I did notice, it was like, and one of the things I've always loved about Florida is that the roads were, let's say, not as congested. And I've gotten my share in earlier days of heavy-footed tickets. So, I understand kind of the temptation, but I don't think I've been tempted to do some of the stuff that I've seen with the roads being clear. And then now that they've gotten back busy, I still see a lot of the weaving and stuff and some of the chasing and just people, I mean, doing weird things like in a major intersection, trying to pass me on the right in the middle of the, and I'm in the right lane, okay, and they're trying to go and pass me on the right and get back into traffic. Going into what my husband calls, he's from Philadelphia, suicide lanes. And I guess there's a reason for that moniker. But going into those lanes, and when the light changes, going around the person in the left lane to get back in traffic. So I'm just wondering, and how is that to be regulated without harming the other part of the public that's trying to do the right thing?
And you know, you're right. We are seeing an increase in aggressiveness, blatant traffic violations. You know, and over the years, I think everybody has had a lead foot. Everybody's gone above the posted speed limit. But when you see people aggressively moving around other people's, passing on a double yellow line, running through a red light, going around traffic to run a red light, tailgating to push somebody out of the way, the aggressiveness has increased. And, you know, we're trying to keep up with enforcement part of it to catch those most aggressive drivers, not just the highway patrol, but you've got the sheriff's office, you've got the police agencies that are trying to monitor this. And unfortunately, like you said, there's a lot of people that do the right thing, a lot of people that drive the right way. They're not lane surfing. They're not, you know, and I think the most frustrating thing is you see somebody lane surf and tailgate and pass on the right, and then you get up to the next traffic light and they're right beside you. And so we are out there actively enforcing and catching those drivers that are driving that manner. But unfortunately, they're also causing crashes. And how, as you as a good driver, how do you avoid those crashes when someone is blatantly driving so bad and you get caught up in a crash? And we tell those people, if you come upon an aggressive driver and they're behind you on your tail, or they're flashing their lights, or someone's just driving, move to the right lane if you're able to, if there's a multi-lane road, and let them go on by. The temptation is to try and kind of help police kind of corral these bad behaviors, but you don't want to get caught up in a crash. So let them go by. Star FHP or 911, you can report an aggressive driver that is a legitimate use of the 911, or Star FHP, which is Star 347. It's a free phone call. And you can report those drivers. And you never know, there may be a police officer right there to get that driver before they get into a different area. So we really do rely on the public's help to get to those bad drivers.
I know I recently turned 60, and I used to love to drive, especially an early morning drive, a nice road trip or whatever. Even when someone else was doing the driving, you know, I liked to, when my parents would, you know, I would say, let's go somewhere, you know, so I liked being out on the road. I'm at a point now though in my life where I almost don't like being out on the road, especially during certain, I try to drive during less peak times just to kind of avoid some of the craziness and the jams and stuff out there. And I also, because I'm getting older, try not to take it for granted that I have the same reflexes and reactions that I used to. So like my husband has been saying, what's wrong? Why are you, you know, because I was a speed demon, but now I'm like, you know, I'm going over to the right. I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to watch my speed, and I'm just trying to let the crazies do what the crazies are going to do. But we have, prior to COVID, the mayor in Orange County, Mayor Jerry Demings, was working really hard on trying to resolve a lot of the transportation issues. And unfortunately, that had to take a back seat in a way to what was going on, just managing how people responded to COVID-19. So what are the main things that would help in terms of making a drive to and from work or a nice road trip or whatever a little more safer? You know, just what suggestions do you have?
Well, you know, we do work close with our county and state engineers on roadway issues, especially if we see an issue. And I think it's always been about sharing the roadway. You know, we have a lot of people, whether you're a pedestrian, getting on a bus to go to and from your destination, a bicyclist, a motorcyclist, somebody in a car. We have to learn that we don't own the space that's under our vehicle. We have to share it. And we have a lot of vulnerable people that use our roadways, our bicyclists and our pedestrians. Orlando has notoriously been a number one area for pedestrian crashes and fatalities. I think it's because we're a walkable state, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We don't have snow here. So I think that's why we see a lot of pedestrian traffic. But I think the goal before the pandemic was to improve the roadways for everybody, whether it's bike lanes, whether it's better crosswalks, more accessible crosswalks for pedestrians to get to, adding raised medians in the middle so if they didn't go down to the intersection, they had a safe place to kind of pause. So I think the goal was to increase better options on our roadways, but it really comes back to being courteous as a driver. And I think without, you know, a lot of people have forgotten about that. We don't have a mandatory driver's ed in Florida. I went to the Florida high school system. Mm-hmm. We took driver's ed. And there's no mandatory. Yeah, there's no more mandatory driver's ed. So unfortunately.
That is so crazy to me.
Yes. Kids are learning from their parents. And some of those parents are not the best drivers either. And they pass on their bad habits. And so I think, you get your license at 16, you may not get any further education about traffic laws changing unless you happen to hear it on the news or unless you happen to get stopped or if you get a ticket and you go take a traffic class. But I think that's sometimes a key on how we educate those new drivers and explain to them that that vehicle is a 5,000-pound bullet.
Exactly. And I mean, one of the things that I find is that our kids, some of our kids aren't really anxious to go and get behind the wheel anymore. I remember that was kind of a rite of passage, so to speak, when you turn 16, you're going to get your driver's license, But now I've seen some kids who are like, no, I'm not really interested. That in combination with the people that come from places where they didn't have to drive and you're in a state where commuting is kind of, it's not an anomaly, it's kind of a regular thing. And so we don't really, unfortunately, don't seem to have the mechanisms in place to deal with them as well. And one of the things that was built and I wanted to ask you about and whether or not it's been effective is FunRail. Has it been effective in terms of taking some of the traffic off of I-4 and some of the other roads?
You know, it has, and you're exactly right. We have people come from other countries. We have people come from other states, maybe very big cities where they have public transportation more accessible to them. So they haven't driven. You are absolutely right about teens waiting longer before they get their license. You and I were down at the driver's license office the morning of our 16th birthday, ready to get our license, where that's not happening as much due to maybe financial issues, or some of these teens feel they're just not ready to be on the road with what they see as they ride in their parents' car. And so, it's just a matter of us trying to figure out how do we get all these users who haven't been driving for years, because just like anything, whether you play an instrument, whether you play a sport, you get mm-hmm. better at it the more you do it. And
right.
That's why the older you get, it's just about experience. It's about the cues that you see, the behaviors you see other drivers that help you stay out of a crash. Those new drivers, whether you're 30 and starting to drive or 16 or 18, it's the experience of not seeing those previous actions or behaviors that gives them a less of an edge than those of us who have been driving for years.
We are here with Lieutenant Kim Montez of the Florida Highway Patrol. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Kim Montez, and we're talking about some of the craziness on the roads, and hopefully that you're, you know, trying to make sure that you're staying safe. And you were talking about single car accidents, and there seems to be more of them. I was looking just at the story of the truck that went off the highway, and it's like I usually see those when they're somewhere else. Just to have that here is a little unsettling. And why is it that we seem to see more one car accidents? And one of the things I wanted to ask you too is, a lot of the roads are being reconfigured where they have these long medians. So if you need to get to the other side of the road, you have to go down and make a U-turn and come back to get there. Is this for traffic control, and is it working? So I want to talk about the single car stuff first and then go to that.
Okay. So, yes, we are seeing a lot of single vehicle crashes. Out of the 47 fatals that we had last month, 8 of them were single vehicle crashes, and we saw vehicles strike trees, strike poles. A lot of those crashes involve speed, and a lot of them involve going around a curve and taking a curve too fast. So basically overdriving your skill level, overdriving what your vehicle can safely do. And I think a lot of people look at speed limits and are like, you know, that's just a suggestion. They want to try and keep us at a certain speed. It is really designed by engineers who have looked at the roadway, look what most vehicles can handle, and we see speed playing a huge role in a lot of those single vehicle crashes.
Okay, I got you. Because, and especially if you're, there was a time too, and I wanted to ask you, do those parameters change as vehicles change? Because there was a time too where there were more cars versus SUVs on the road. Now it seems like it's the reverse. There's more SUVs than cars on the road, and the navigation and functioning of those vehicles it may be different depending on, I understand the base is different. Some are truck-based, some are just, you know, different bases, crossover bases and car bases. So does that speed limit consideration change as the technology in cars change, the function of cars change?
You know, absolutely. We see a lot of SUVs overturn. And a lot of times when we look at the driver, they're newer drivers. Sometimes parents put their kids, when they first start driving in these big SUVs, thinking a bigger car, they're going to be safer. And what happens with the inexperience, especially in an SUV where the center of gravity is up a little bit more, kids sometimes, you know, I say kids, young drivers, new drivers, they drift off the road, they overcorrect, and that weight shifts in the SUV a lot harder than in a passenger vehicle that's lower to the ground, therefore causing a lot of movement where these cars tend to overturn. Technology is improving in our vehicles, whether it's lane assistance in our newer vehicles, which keeps you in your lane. It kind of wakes you up and makes it and tells you by a vibration on the steering wheel and noise that you're not in your lane. The assisted braking, where if you're too close to a vehicle in front of you, it actually starts braking, applying the brakes for you. So I think as we move on in these years with the technology that is now being applied to vehicles, to newer vehicles, you know, the automated vehicles, the other improvements in technology, the airbags, and, you know, just the different things that automakers are doing, they kind of assist in the safety aspect and assist the driver that may not be safe as they're driving. But we also have to remember that, you know, it's going to take a while because a lot of people are going to have older cars. You know, they can't afford a new car with all these fancy new bells and whistles. So we're talking decades before we are caught up and all together with a vehicle, a system that everybody would be on the same page with the same, you know, type of vehicle that has all this new technology.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So I was asking you about, I guess that's part of my frustration, but I was asking you about the longer medians and stuff in some of the roads. And one of the reasons I thought about that, too, is because today I had someone to come out from a shopping center across the road in front of me as I was getting ready to get into a left turn lane. And then what they did when the traffic cleared, they drove over the median to make a U-turn. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering about why were these long medians created? Is it effective in controlling traffic? And I guess things that people should realize when they're trying to navigate getting from I guess, one side or oncoming, wanting to go in the other direction and going straight and having to drive so long to do it.
You know, what our engineers have looked at over the years is some of our most serious crashes are the T-bone crashes. And when you're pulling out of a side street, a driveway, to make a left turn across that traffic, so the traffic's coming towards your driver's side door, that's when you're the most vulnerable. And they do traffic studies. If we have a high number of crashes from people trying to make left turns out of plazas or side streets, and we're having those T-bone crashes, not at an intersection, but just in the travel lanes, they will put those long medians in there that force traffic pulling out to make a right turn first and then to go make a U-turn, you know, in a lane cutout. And they've done that, again, to reduce the number of significant T-bone crashes where drivers would be struck on their driver's side door. It's a little bit more frustrating because now you can't just make the left turn to go the direction you want to go. You have to make a right turn, find a safe place to make a U-turn, and then wait for traffic, which is sometimes challenging, especially in our peak hours, to make that U-turn. You talked about the suicide lanes earlier. The suicide lanes are basically, well, there's no pavement. We call them, they're officially called bidirectional turn lanes, but even law enforcement has called them suicide lanes for years because we see a lot of bad crashes in those center turn lanes. What they're designed for, and again, for your listeners, it's the lane that's got, you may have a travel lane going north and you have travel lanes going south. It's the center lane. It is designed for traffic pulling out from a side street on either direction as like a pause, so that you don't have to go across all eight lanes to make your turn. But what we find people do is it's designed for people pulling out, but then we also see people using it as a travel lane to pass the other stop traffic in the same direction that they're going. And that's when we see collisions occur. So, you know, engineers look at where these long medians that unfortunately force a driver to make a right turn, based on the crash analysis and the high crashes that we have in a certain area. And law enforcement is constantly working with them to bring certain crash criteria to their attention. And that's where you may see those long medians, those raised medians, to force traffic one way. It really is about reducing the number of T-bone crashes. And unfortunately, it does cause a delay. It does cause a little bit more time for the driver to have to go down, make a U-turn. But it really is about safety.
I do kind of want to go back to something about not having driver's ed in school and the impact of that. And is there any type of way to kind of get that back in place? Because I think, whether or not you do drive on a regular basis, I personally think that it's important that everybody knows how to drive. Because if you get into an emergency situation, let's say you have to take someone to the doctor or a hospital or something, or for whatever reason, I think it's important to at least have the knowledge, basic knowledge in terms of how to operate a vehicle, even if you don't do it on a regular basis.
You're right. And so Florida does not mandate mandatory driver's ed, but what a lot of school systems do throughout the state is they do a virtual driver's ed where you have the driving ed machines, almost like a video game. There are some school systems that do offer that program. We also have seen a few throughout the state that still offer behind the wheel through the school system. It's a liability issue. It's very costly to maintain the cars. But about 15 years ago, Representative Schlossberg, who was down in South Florida, he had twin daughters, and they were involved in a crash where a bunch of teens were in a car, and one twin lived and one twin died. And he passed the Doris Schlossberg Act, which tacked on $3 to every ticket. So to every violator who was paying that ticket, $3 went into a fund. So that's a perpetual fund where there was free behind-the-wheel driving instruction for new drivers. Through the Safety Council, through the National Safety Council. The funding is there to provide that free service. You also have a lot of sheriff's offices that provide a behind-the-wheel training, a weekend training for drivers. They have to bring their own car. So for anybody listening, if they want some free driving instruction for their teen or for themselves, you're talking about people who are professionally trained to train you the right way. You can go online and kind of search, free driving lessons. I know the National Safety Council does pull from the Doris Schlossberg funds here in Orange County, but each county has that fund that is a perpetual fund because we do write tickets to traffic violators, and that money goes into a fund for free behind-the-wheel training. For drivers that want to take advantage of that. And, there's a lot of parents out there that call us that are just feel they're not equipped to train their children the right way. And that's why a professional driver sometimes takes away, your father, son, mother, daughter kind of animosity. Your kid's not going to listen to you. They're going to be more likely to listen to somebody that they don't know. There's a lot of things out there, but there is a resource out there. However, there is no formal behind-the-wheel driver's ed mandatory in the state of Florida, and I think that's where we see a lot of our problems.
I do too. So we're going to take our next break, and if you have questions for Lieutenant Kim Montez of the Florida Highway Patrol, the number is 516-387-1945. I did just post information from the United Safety Council, Florida Safety Council, about the Florida Virtual Schools driving lessons, so you might want to take a look. Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arclitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are discussing all things traffic, highway fatalities, difference in not having driver's ed versus having driver's ed. Anything that you want to discuss with Lieutenant Kim Montez of the Florida Highway Patrol, the number is 516-387-1944. I wanted to ask you, as a result of the pandemic, I know early on drunk driving arrests were down for a while. Are you still seeing a lower number in the drunk driving arrests?
You know, compared to 2019, we did see a significant reduction in DUI arrests in 2020, especially that period between March and about the end of June. Unfortunately, we are still seeing drivers, whether it's alcohol, prescription medication, or illegal drugs, still get behind the wheel. We're still making arrests. We're still making, they're still getting involved in crashes. But we did see a reduction in the beginning part of pandemic. So there was a positive side. If you want to look at a positive side of COVID, we did see a reduction in fatal crashes, a reduction in DUI arrests. And we would just hope that people, you know, that as they get back out on the road and get back to their normal routine, remember driving's the most dangerous thing you do every day when you get in that vehicle. Even if you are a great driver, good driver, you don't know what somebody else is going to do around you.
And I was just curious too, was there any tracking or did you notice any fluctuation with the opening and closing of the bars, if that had any impact?
You know, we did notice a weird kind of trend, you know, because unfortunately a lot of the bars do close, you know, in the overnight hours, and that's when a lot of DUI arrests were made. The DUI arrests that we were seeing when we were stopping people for driving impaired during the COVID, when the bars were shut down, really mm-hmm. were early in the morning, 8, 9, 10 o'clock. We started seeing more people arrested during that time period, not knowing if they had consumed alcohol all night or if they were starting earlier in the morning. Even with the reduction of the number of arrests we made, we did see that. I know a lot of people were concerned when bars were serving alcohol to go. A lot of people were concerned that that was going to raise the number of DUI incidents, whether it was crashes or arrests. And we really didn't see a significant increase. We think that a lot of people, especially in our urban areas, are using ride sharing. Ride sharing has become popular over the last several years. We think our young people who get on that mobile app to call a ride sharing company are using that rather than getting behind the wheel. You go into your more rural areas where it's not available as much, where you're seeing a higher number percentage-wise of DUI arrests and DUI incidents. So we think overall with the pandemic, people are changing their ways. Some people are kind of, doing things differently. But the ride sharing has really increased the responsibility of a lot of these younger drivers to use ride sharing rather than getting behind the wheel.
And I have yet to use a ride-sharing service. I don't know. I'm still real apprehensive about that whole thing, but it seems like, I guess, it's gotten better. It's more and more regulated, because that was my concern in the beginning about those services being regulated.
I haven't used one either. Maybe it's an age thing because I'm 52. Maybe our you know, our older population, we've been driving all these years. We're like, okay, we can drive ourselves, but I have never used one. And I think our younger people, they're so more open to this, but it's working for the younger people.
Yeah. And I guess it's okay. Like I said, you know, and I've taken, let's say, well, when I didn't live here, I lived in Ohio for a couple of years, and I did end up taking taxi cabs, and I've taken taxi cabs when I've, gone other places for vacations or whatever. I guess to me, some of the kinks had to be worked out and the regulations had to be put in. But I had never done it, and it's like someone suggested, that's someone's car. You don't know what kind of maintenance they've done to the car, and there's all these questions that have, I guess my paranoia kicked up with it, so I've not done it. But I'm glad it's out there for those that need it, and I have seen usage by, like you said, a lot of young people who really don't care to drive. So that's a good thing. I want to also ask about, because one of the things that to me seems to have picked up a little bit has been carjacking. Am I misreading that, or has that picked up?
You know, I think we've always seen crimes of opportunity for carjacking. And of course, if there's ever someone still inside the vehicle, it's publicized, so you're going to hear about it more. I don't think we're seeing an increase in it, but there's always crimes of opportunity, whether you leave your car unlocked in front of your house and you become a victim of a burglary, or, you leave your car running somewhere, which, by the way, is against the law to leave your car running unattended. And if you have children in the car under the age of 5, you can never, ever leave them in the car at all with a car running. So I think it's just crimes of opportunity, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then, of course, we have people that are targeted for financial, their cars are more appealing to some of these people who are looking to steal these cars. But we haven't really seen an increase during the COVID or during the last couple years. But it is still a crime that is very aggressive. People get hurt. And, obviously, what can you do to prevent that? Most of your cars now, as soon as you put the car in drive, it does lock. And that's a good way is to keep your doors locked as you're driving down the road, especially as you stop at a traffic light. And if somebody approaches your car, you should never be so close to the car in front of you that you don't have a way out, right or left, to get away from a situation. So things to think about when you're in your car. If someone were to approach my car right now, where would I go? What would I do? Where would I drive to? Who would I call? Is my phone here where I can call 911? Obviously we don't want people talking or texting on the phone, but that phone can be a great service if you have an emergency. And that's why it's important for people to always know where they're at, whether you're in a place that you don't live, like another city, or you live here. If something were to happen, can you immediately say where you're at? And, law enforcement, that's the first thing we're trained when we become police officers. You should always know where you're at. People that have incidents on the interstate, sometimes they don't even know what county they're in or what mile marker they're at. We rely so much on GPS now that sometimes we really don't know where we're at. But there's ways to prevent that. Always looking out when you're parking, park in a safe place, a well-lit place. Be vigilant as you get in and out of a car, especially if you're a female by yourself. Don't be on your phone as you're walking to your car. Make sure that you don't want to look like a victim, because the bad person's going to try and go, victimize somebody who is truly not paying attention.
See, now I have, a dilemma with that. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because part of me is like, okay, yeah, you want to be aware. And I usually try to be aware of my surroundings. I got mugged a few years ago, and even that one time, I wasn't on the phone, and I called myself being aware of my surroundings, and I saw the person coming. But it's just, things happen sometimes, and everything you think you're going to do at that moment it doesn't happen, you know. But I wanted to ask you about also, you have a campaign. I want to go back when we were talking about impaired driving, the Never Drive Impaired campaign. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So March is typically the busiest month out of all 12 months for fatal crashes. I know a lot of people think it's like December during the holidays, but it really is March. We have spring break. We have bike week. We have the warm weather starting to come back. People are trying to get out and get outside and do things, you know, especially with the last year with so many people kind of bottled up in their homes and protecting themselves from, you know, potential infection of COVID. Our campaign just reminds drivers that this is still an issue. You know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving has been around for decades. And this is a 100% preventable situation. You as a driver have every responsibility to make sure you are fully functioning behind the wheel, whether you take prescription medication that tells you not to drive, whether you've consumed alcohol, whether, unfortunately, you've taken an illegal drug. You make it worse when you get behind the wheel. And a lot of people, because they've successfully done it in the past, think that they're good drivers as they're impaired. And so our campaign just really wants to tell people that we focus on this on March. We will be having a DUI Wolfpack on March 12th. 8 agencies will come to the Higher Patrol Station about 8 p.m. on Friday, March 12th. Spring break starting a lot of around a lot of places. And we will be saturating the Orange County area looking for impaired drivers. Looking for people who are weaving, looking for people who, when the light turns green, they don't go, looking for people who are speeding or going too slow. So we're going to be focusing on our impairment efforts to try and reduce the number of crashes that typically happen in March from impaired drivers.
Oh, okay. You might just want to stay off the road on that day. You know, I mean, that's a good thing.
And it's not about,
you know,
hiding. Yeah, it's not about hiding. We want to tell people where we're going to be, because we really believe there's a lot of people that do the right thing. And unfortunately, there's just enough people that do the wrong thing. So we're always willing to tell you, you know, the Waze app that's out there that tells you where law enforcement's at. They're doing, you know, speed control, or they're looking for red light runners. We are in support of that, because it's not about a gotcha moment. We want drivers to know that we live in these communities too, and we want to make them safe, not only for other families, but for our families.
Definitely. That's a good thing. So we're going to take our final break. We are here with Lieutenant Kim Montez of the Florida Highway Patrol. If you have traffic questions, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is chill out jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good, baby. Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on KHAM Radio.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Tomorrow, we welcome back Chad Brown. He's a career counselor. There was an article that I came across and wanted to ask him about, and he's going to address the topic, is a high school diploma enough with the people losing jobs right now? Colleges being more expensive right now, and learning kind of being compromised right now with the pandemic. is a high school diploma enough to be successful in the job market right now? So we're going to talk a little bit about that with Chad Brown tomorrow. In the meantime, we are going back to Kim Montez with the Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Kim Montez. So what is it? We've covered a lot of different things, but is there anything in particular that you want to drive home to the listeners out there in terms of staying safe on the roads? And then also I want to ask you, maybe you can address this first and then go to that. The I-4 Ultimate Project and some of the other projects in the area, how is that playing a role in what we're seeing in terms of traffic patterns and traffic driving behavior?
You know, that's a good point, because I think anybody who drives in Central Florida, no matter if they live in the South End, the Northwest, anywhere you go, you're going to see some type of construction. Roadways constantly have to be improved. They have to be repaved. They have to be repaired. They're going to be widening. So there's a lot of construction, and it almost seems like every year, every day, there's some kind of construction. The I-4 Ultimate program, when it started a couple years ago, we saw a heavy spike in crashes up on the interstate as people kind of got familiar and used to this was going to be under construction for quite a while, the lane shifts and the reduced speeds and the congestion. But now that it's done, except for the toll lane portions of it, we are seeing traffic flow. We are seeing, I mean, obviously not at non-peak at peak times, we're not going to see that, but we are seeing a better roadway designed for the volume of traffic that's here in Central Florida. And again, construction around local roadways, where whether it's adding a lane, and anytime you add a lane, speeds are going to go up with drivers because the road is more open and not as congested. And that's where drivers have to go back and remember that the speed limit is typically still the same after the construction's complete. Or just, you know, being courteous and yielding to those workers that's their office when they have to fix these roads for us, and we have to give them room to work. And that's why reducing a speed in a construction zone is so important. But we will always have construction. They try and improve the roadways for better traffic flow, for better, you know, roadways as far as like shoulders where people, if they get broke down, have a safe place to go to. But we have to expect that that's going to be an ongoing thing, even as I-4 Ultimate, you know, completes its total phase in the next year or so. We're going to see construction. We're going to see the road changing. People need to pay attention to those changes.
Because it is, I don't drive I-4 as much as I used to, and I find myself relearning almost every time I get on there. There's always a change lately. So it's a matter of just kind of slowing down and looking around, you know, being aware. Just because it was one way the last week doesn't mean it's the same way the next week.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So what else do you want our drivers to know, you know, and especially our newer drivers? We definitely want the veteran drivers to be safe as well, and just remember common courtesy, I guess. But anyone who's trying to navigate the roads, either as a first-time driver or even as a visitor coming here, because, you know, as the weather changes, we're going to get more visitors coming into the area too.
You know, that's right. And, you know, before we touch on that, for new drivers, we are seeing a negative trend about the last year and a half. Street racing has become a huge problem amongst our young people in the Central Florida area, all over Orange County, Seminole County, Lake County, Osceola County, and law enforcement has teamed up, especially when these events occur, to deter these drivers from completing this behavior. But if you're an innocent driver, you could be caught up in the middle of this street race where they're blocking the roads, they're zipping around you, they're turning off their headlights so that they can't be seen. And again, this behavior by a few affects a lot of people, a lot of good drivers with their families and their cars. And it's illegal for a reason, because it's dangerous. And so with that said, it really does come back on the part of the driver and how their attitude and behavior behind that wheel plays a role in the safety of everybody. And everybody has a bad day. Everybody can have a bad day. They get behind the wheel and something that wouldn't have made them upset the day before makes them upset today. And they take it out on another driver. They cut them off, you know, gestures, all that kind of things. But I think we have to not drive with our emotions. We have to drive for the safety of everybody in our vehicle, for the safety of everybody else out there. And I think if everybody took it a little bit more seriously, getting behind the wheel, we would have less instances of these crashes. We are still going to have some people make mistakes, but a lot of these are because of aggressive drivers. Law enforcement tries to catch them, but we can't be everywhere. And that's why as you drive, you really have to be scanning the road. The phone has to be down. You have to be looking beyond the hood of your car and not just drive and look straight forward so that you could potentially avoid a crash by just seeing something before it happens.
Just a lot to think about, but have to stay on top of it to just keep everybody safe. So, Lieutenant Montes, I really appreciate you taking the time out. It's very important, and I'm glad you stay front and center and on the forefront of these things. I enjoy getting updates from you every time, and I wanted to have you on to address our audience about these issues because, like I said, I've just so many things I've seen in the past year or so in terms of changes in behavior. And just wanted to make sure that people are aware of what's going on and how we can best handle it. So thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome back anytime. Thank you.
All right. Have a blessed day.
You too. Have a blessed day. G's Power Hour Friday. It's our Dobbs report, and we're going to talk a little women's history as well as the economy. Paul Z. Shelton is coming on, and he's bringing a guest with him. So we look forward to having him on. And we're going to have some other Women's History Month activities this month. And also tonight was one thing I wanted to address with you. If you are up, and I'm going to struggle to stay up. At 10 o'clock on ABC, Soul of a Nation is going to be on, and they've been advertising. It's news about the black community here in America, by the black community here in America, and it's for everyone to watch. So please, if you get a chance to turn that on, I think it's going to be really interesting. That's tonight at 10 p.m. on ABC. Soul of a Nation. We're going to go. If you have ideas and topics that you want to see addressed on G's Power Hour, please hit me up with a message on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. Let me know what it is that you want us to talk about, and we'll be happy to do it. We're also open to new advertisers on the show, so just let me know. Anyway, have a blessed day. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Be well. Be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
The high praise.